So a little song first. The toe bone's connected to the foot bone. The foot bone's connected to the heel bone. The heel bone's connected to the ankle bone. Now hear the word of the Lord. Right? Was anyone else thinking of that song when Lynn was reading it? It's called Dem Bones, and it's by a man by the name of James Johnson, a spiritual song written in the 20s, and it was called Dem Bones. And Michelle sang it, a line of it, like last week, and I've been singing it in my head all week. So I had to share it with you in this moment. But whether you were singing songs of skeletons forming, or whether you were just present with the words as Lynn offered them, the imagery is unavoidable. Right from the start, if we close our eyes, we can find ourselves in the midst of a gruesome scene. A dry valley, devoid of all life, a valley populated only by the bones of those who walk and breathe no more. This is where God takes Ezekiel. Not exactly a reading you would jump to be reminded of peace in Advent, when we're talking about the impending glory of Christmas. I mean, this is Peace Sunday, after all, and if there is anything in the valley at the start of the reading, well, I guess that there is peace. But the peace that we find when Ezekiel enters the valley is a mournful peace. A peace that comes in the midst of those who are grieving a loss of a life that was lived, but one that was filled with missed opportunities. But that is where the passage starts. It's not where it ends. You see, stories where God is at work rarely start with everything being happy and fine. Indeed, all those stories start with the absence of something. Usually, the absence of life. We see this in the story of creation, where before time and the world there was nothing but a swirling void of chaotic nothingness. We see this in the people of Sarah and Abraham, where Sarah bore a child while she was well into her 90s. She laughed at God when God told her she would do this. We see it here, where there is a valley of death, a dry place filled with the bones of the whole people of Israel. And we see it in the story of the Virgin Mary, who would come to bear a son by the Holy Spirit, and he would be called Emmanuel, God with us. Mary. Now there's an Advent story that you can get behind, right? Young woman betrothed to the man Joseph. Their life was a blank tapestry on which they might paint their adventures until bang! An angel appears and throws all of their plans and dreams to the four winds of creation. And what does the angel say to Mary? Do not be afraid, Mary. For you have found favor with God, and now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great, and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. Mary, of course, said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you." The Holy Spirit will come upon you. The Holy Spirit is very much an active participant in many of God's acts of bringing life to lifelessness. Sometimes it's blatant, and we call it the Holy Spirit as we did in the story of Mary and the angel. But most of the time when we're talking about the life and the life-giving work of the Holy Spirit, we hear it referred to as the breath of God or the Holy Breath. Knowing that and looking at the story from Ezekiel, we're afforded a very different perspective on the valley and the bones and the would-be messenger. Like the womb of Mary, the valley of bones waits for the movement of the Spirit, for new life to be born in them. In Ezekiel's day, the people of Israel were contending with exile, a story that we've heard often from different prophetic perspectives. But as we hear by the end of the passage, they are worn out from their exile. So long have they been dispersed and disjointed as a people that even the breath is gone from their lungs, their bones dried up, and as disjointed as the people themselves. They cry out to God, "Our hope is lost. We are completely cut off." And in a somewhat circular way, here we have the vision of Ezekiel, the vision of the valley of dry bones. Bones that represented the whole household of Israel. Then something part comical, part brilliant happens. God asks Ezekiel, "Mortal, can these bones live?" Does anyone besides Lynn remember Ezekiel's response? What? Ah, oh Lord, besides Lynn. Oh Lord God, you know. Actually, in the actual Hebrew text, there's an extra you. So what Ezekiel actually says is, "Oh Lord God, you know." So in one sentence, Ezekiel says, "Well God, if anybody knows, you know. Because I sure don't." So on the one hand, Ezekiel doesn't really answer God's question, but on the other hand, he answers it perfectly. According to everything that Ezekiel knows, everything that we know, really, when it's just bones, that's pretty much it for life. But Ezekiel knows enough about God to not close the door on life. That even when we have reached the end of our rope, God is not done with us. This is what God wants Ezekiel to tell the people of Israel, scattered and worn though they might be. God is not done with them yet. This is a message that we are used to hearing in the Advent season, that the end is not the end, but rather a new beginning. That nothing, not weariness, nor waywardness, nor even death itself can keep God from doing something amazing and wonderful in this world and through us, God's people. We hear of God's persistence in the Ezekiel reading, and we see it in action when the angel comes to Mary and lets her know that God is doing a new thing and she is a part of it. Now I have to ask you, how many of you are tired? How many of you are worn to the bone? How many of you feel like you've served enough? I didn't see any hands go up. Y'all full of energy? Y'all ready to serve in new ways? Maybe serve in old ways. Well, if you are tired, if you are weary and worn, I've got news for you. And this isn't me saying this. This is from Ezekiel, so send your complaints to him. God is not done with you yet. God is not done with St. Paul's or the United Church of Canada or the whole church universal that is Christianity. God is not done with us yet. Because many people will say that the church is dying, right? Maybe you've heard it. Maybe you've said it. The church is dying. Some people even believe that the church is already dead and it just doesn't have the sense to lay down. But wait. God is coming. And God has a question for you. Mortal, can these bones, the bones of the people of the way, the bones of the church, the bones of those who have served loyally and are worn, can these bones live? Like Ezekiel, we only have one answer. We only have one hope. Oh Lord God, you know. Because we are a people of faith. A people who trusts in miracles. A people who live because of the breath that we've been given. The breath that God continues to impart. We are the dry bones of the valley, parched and thirsting for breath. We are Mary, waiting, unknowing, for a message of hope in the midst of a season where darkness invariably gives way to a new dawn. We are the people born of the breath, encouraged by the birth, and empowered by the blessing of God's unwillingness to let us go. That is the peace that we are afforded in the midst of the chaos of our lives. A serenity that comes from knowing that even a valley of bones, even a virgin womb, cannot stop God from calling us to a new way. This is the peace that Christ offers to the world, and that we are called to discover here on this second Sunday of Advent. It is a peace that makes us more than bones and sinew, more than flesh and blood, because it is the breath of God, that holy breath, that makes us whole and ready for new life. Let us breathe deep of the Holy Spirit and hear the words of the prophet Ezekiel, hear the words of the angel. God is doing a new thing, and you are a part of it. Amen. And now, as we have heard,